Well, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Rudyard Kipling was a great British poet and author, and his writing made him very wealthy during his lifetime. One day a reporter approached him and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated the money you've made from all of your writings, and it amounts to over $100 per word." Kipling just raised his eyebrows and said, "Really, I wasn't aware of that." Well, the reporter was kind of a smart aleck. So he reached into his pocket, pulled out a $100 bill, gave it to Kipling, and said, "Now give me one of those $100 words." Kipling looked at the bill for a moment, folded it up, put it back in his pocket, looked back at the man, and simply said, "Thanks." And if there ever was a $100 word, it's the word, thanks. You know, that word has the power to make almost anyone feel good. If you get to say it to someone, it means someone thought enough of you to do something for you. And if someone says it to you, it means they thought enough of you to recognize and appreciate what you did for them. There is no attitude more befitting of a Christian or that blesses the heart of God any more than an attitude of gratitude. Did you know that gratitude is one of the most powerful transforming forces in the life of a Christian? Romans 2 and 4 says that it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And gratitude is the recognition of the goodness of God. That's where it begins. The moment I step back and realize God has been good to me. Gratitude not only recognizes the goodness of God, it reciprocates it. Here's how it works. God sends His goodness down to my life. And in turn, I send my gratitude up. He sends a blessing down. I return the favor by sending a blessing up. Folks, the problem is not that God has not sent His blessings down. The problem is that we send so few back up. God has been good to us, but we don't nearly reciprocate that goodness enough. Gratitude is saying, "You've been so good to me. It's only right, it's only proper that I would say thank you to you." Gratitude not only recognizes the goodness of God and reciprocates it, but it resembles the goodness of God. Don't miss this. It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Here's how it happens. When I really step back and focus on God's goodness to me, it begins to stand in contrast to my badness. I recognize how good God's been to me, and I start to think about how bad I've been to God. I think about how generous He's been to me, and I think about how stingy I've been to Him. I think about how gracious He's been to me, and I think about how ungrateful I've been to Him. What happens is, as we begin to meditate and think about the goodness of God, it shows us our badness, we repent, and then we begin to resemble the one who's been so good to us. Gratitude is a powerful force for a Christian. Well, this morning, we're going to study one verse primarily. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, and I want you to read it with me. So look at Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read it together. Ready? Read. "Giving thanks always for all things unto God in our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." All right, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give that a 2. Let's bring it up a notch, all right? Look again at verse 20. "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. That was a little better, guys. The title of the message this morning is An Attitude of Gratitude. And I want to ask you this morning, do you have an attitude of gratitude? Ephesians 5:20 is one phrase in a long run-on sentence. The sentence begins at verse 18. Look there. It says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now that's the key command in this passage in Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means to be continually and completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. You see, folks, the moment you got saved, you got all of the Spirit. That's the indwelling of the Spirit. But when the Spirit gets all of you, that's the filling of the Spirit. You say, "Pastor Gillett, how would I ever know if I met a person who was Spirit-filled?" Well, look at verse 19. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And you may want to circle the beginning word of all three of those verses. Speaking, giving, and submitting. A Spirit-filled Christian has a song in his heart, a word of gratitude on his lips and is always ready to submit and to serve. And it has nothing to do with the circumstances around him. It has everything to do with the one who is controlling him. Dr. Tom Farrell once said, a God-filled Christian is a grateful Christian. Are you? I want to talk to you about an attitude of gratitude. We notice in the first place this morning, the action of gratitude. Look at those first two words. It says, giving thanks. And you probably expected a message on thanksgiving or gratitude this morning. And you're sitting in your pew thinking, I'm really a thankful person. Well, why are you a thankful person? Well, you say, Pastor Gillett, in my heart, I feel thankful. I feel thankful for my family. I feel thankful for my church. I certainly feel thankful to God for all His blessings upon my life. But ladies and gentlemen, did you know that feeling gratitude does not make you a grateful person? Expressing gratitude makes you a thankful person. It does not say thanks feeling, it says thanksgiving. Amen. Hebrews 13 and 15 says, by Him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You know, sometimes being grateful, sometimes praising God is a sacrifice. You may have come into church this morning feeling down or depressed. Things may not be going well for you right now. You don't feel like praising God. Well, the Bible does not command us to praise God because we feel like praising God. It does not command us to praise God because we feel good. The Bible commands us to praise God because He is good, and we can do that anytime. One of the most famous psalms of praise in the Bible is the 100th Psalm. It bears the interesting title, A Psalm of Praise. And when you've seen that, you probably thought that's kind of a vague title. Aren't all the psalms psalms of praise? Well, did you know that's actually the only psalm in the entire Psalter that has that title? It gets more interesting when you discover that that word praise is translated 18 other times in the New Testament, thanksgiving. Psalm 100 isn't just a psalm of thanksgiving, it's a psalm about thanksgiving. It lets us know how we're to give thanks unto God. Listen carefully to what it says. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Folks, do you see what the psalmist was saying there? He was saying that you haven't really given thanks until your inward, invisible, silent gladness in God becomes visible and audible and verbal, and you express yourself in praise to God. So I want to ask you this morning, when was the last time you really said thank you to God? When's the last time you stopped your busy schedule, took 5 or 10 minutes, and thanked God for His many blessings in your life? When's the last time in your personal prayer life, instead of barging into His presence with a grocery list of demands, you just thanked Him for who He is and for all He's done for you? The truth of the matter is we have to give thanks. Someone said that feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping up a gift and never giving it. Give thanks. Well, that's the action of thanksgiving. We notice in the second place the habit of thanksgiving. Because the Bible says giving thanks always for all things. Now that's the challenging part of this verse, isn't it? It may be the challenging part, but it's the crucial part. You see, it does not require the power of the Spirit of God to be thankful when things in your life are going terrific. It does, on the other hand, require the power of the Spirit of God to thank God when everything in your life is going terribly. You say, Pastor Gillett, should I thank God for my sickness? Should I thank God that I lost my loved one last year? Should I thank God I'm not sure I'm going to have my job past the holidays? How in the world can someone be thankful always for all things? Well, in my mind, it has always been helpful to me to connect the all things in Ephesians 5:20 with another famous verse that has the words all things. In the margin of your Bible, if you don't have it written already, you ought to write out besides Ephesians 5:20 the verse Romans 8 and 28. Because the Bible says, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The Bible says that all the things that happen in our life are going to work together for good. Paul, what is that good? He said in verse 30 that we would be conformed into the image of His Son, conformed into the image of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I have good news for you today. If you are a Christian, all things in your life will work together for good.
Amen.
All things means no exceptions, no exemptions, or no exclusions.
Amen.
It means that nothing in life happens to you, but everything in life happens for you. Our circumstances are either caused by God or allowed by God so that we might be conformed into the image of God. And because all things work together for my good, I can be grateful and thankful for all things.
Amen.
Thankful always for all things. I was speaking with a man in our church last week, and over the last couple of years, he's gone through a period of intense suffering. If I took the time to tell you what he's been going through physically and professionally and at home, there's not a person here who wouldn't feel sympathy for me. But here's what he said to me. He said, I've learned to be thankful for what I've experienced. Because if I had never experienced those trials, I would not be here today talking about God with my pastor. You see, a year ago, this man was a nominal Christian. He rarely attended church. He was backslidden and he was away from God. Now he's here every time the doors are open. He's soaking up God's word. He even has a passion to teach God's word to other people. That was not in spite of the difficult things that happened in his life. It was because of the difficult things that happened in our life. And sometimes life has to put us flat on our back until we finally look up and see the Lord. One author said it this way. We all have places in our lives we wish weren't difficult, painful, or broken. Suffering always comes uninvited. And yet, finding God's grace in suffering is one of the most soul-satisfying, joy-producing, God-glorifying experiences in life. Encountering God in suffering is better than having never suffered at all. It was Charles Spurgeon who said, I've learned to kiss the wave that dashes me against the rock of ages. And we can be thankful for the good as well as the bad, for the pretty as well as the ugly, because everything that happens in our life can drive us closer to God if we will let it.
Amen.
I love reading the commentary of Matthew Henry. How many of you have ever read from Matthew Henry's old commentary? It's great. Well, one of my favorite stories about Matthew Henry's life is that one day he was traveling and he was met by a group of thieves. They attacked him and they robbed him and they left him for half dead. Here's what he wrote in his diary. He said, let me be thankful. First, because that man had never robbed me before. Second, because although he took my purse, he did not take my life. Third, because although he took all that I possessed, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. You know what that reminds us of? Gratitude is not a matter of circumstance. Gratitude is a matter of attitude. It's a choice, and it should be the perpetual attitude of all of God's people. We should give thanks always and for all things. So the action of gratitude is giving thanks. The habit of gratitude is giving thanks always for all things. Look next at the direction of gratitude. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. So our gratitude should have a direction. It should go vertical. It should be given to God. Now, I've often wondered how atheist families celebrate Thanksgiving. Do they gather around the table and thank the Big Bang for the beautiful planet that they live in? Do they thank the evolutionary process that their turkey was not the fittest for survival? Do they go around the table patting themselves on the back for their health, their freedom, their prosperity, and all the other things they really can't control anyway? See, the truth of the matter is that there should be a direction to our thanksgiving and our gratitude should go to God.
Amen.
James 1:17, Dr. Barber quoted it in his prayer. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from God, from the Father of lights. Do you recognize that every good thing you enjoy, every meal you've ever eaten, every warm night you've ever spent in the house, every moment of laughter and joy in your life was a good gift from the hand of a good God?
Amen.
You don't have a blessing that your Father in heaven didn't give to you. One of the things I'm thankful for this year is the ministry of Dr. Tom Farrell. Dr. Farrell was a well-known evangelist who had preached at our church many times over the years. You've heard the story, but I was called to preach under his ministry as a 13-year-old boy at camp. Dr. Farrell passed away earlier this year after a brave battle with brain cancer. He was actually on our calendar to preach the message this very day. Dr. Farrell had a handful of messages that he would preach at Christian camps. I think he preached the same messages every 2 or 3 years. So I've heard most of his camp messages a lot of times. He would always begin a Monday night with a message from Ephesians 5:20 called An Attitude of Gratitude. I've heard him preach it in person. When I was 17, the message so touched my heart, I bought the CD, and as a young preacher boy, I wore it out. I think I've listened to that message 50 or 60 times. Dr. Farrell said, when I have an attitude of gratitude, I thank God for these five things. And I think his five things would be a good place for us to start this morning. He said, first of all, I thank God for my freedom. Amen. Aren't you thankful today for your freedom? Amen. A few weeks ago, we celebrated Veterans Sunday, and it was so amazing to me to look out over the congregation and see so many women, men and women stand during the salute to the armed forces. It was just a reminder that we have a military church, and so many of the brothers and sisters that you worship with every week have served our country in a great way. You know, folks, I'm 38 years old, and for my entire life, I've had freedom of worship, freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, freedom to vote my conscience, freedom even to disagree with my government. I've traveled all over the world, and I love traveling, but I'm always glad when my plane lands down at Dallas-Fort Worth, and I'm in the United States of America again. You see, I've been to some places where they didn't have freedom. I've been to some places where they don't have the right to disagree with their governments. I've been to some places where I can't share my faith in Christ openly and freely like I am today. And I think everybody who lives in the United States of America ought to thank God that he's allowed us to live in the land of the free because of the brave. I'm thankful for my freedom today. How about you? We should not only be thankful for our freedom, but we should be thankful for our faculties. Dr. Farrell said faculty just means the ability to do. If your body reasonably does what it is supposed to do, you ought to thank God for it. I'm in and out of enough hospitals every week to tell you that health is a gift. And the measure of health and strength you have is a real gift from God. I heard about three guys who were on fishing boats, and all three of them had a physical malady. An angel showed up and said, God sent me to touch and heal you. So he asked the first guy, what do you need to be healed? The man said, my knee hurts awfully bad. So the angel touched his knee, and miraculously, he was healed. The second guy said to the angel, my eyesight is bad. Could you touch my eyes? The angel touched his eyes, and he had 20/20. When it got to the third guy jumped off the boat and started swimming away. The angel said, what's wrong with you? He said, I'm on disability. Don't you dare touch me. You know, folks, if you have eyes that see and ears that hear and hands that touch and feet that walk, you're a blessed person today. Amen. Thank God for our faculties. I'm thankful this morning for food. Amen? Amen. I like to eat. Did you know that one out of every nine people alive on planet Earth will go to bed hungry tonight? And that's just a statistic until you meet a hungry person. A few years ago, I traveled to Manila, the capital city of the Philippines, and I worked with a pastor who has a church in the Payatas region of the city. Payatas is a city that is literally built in the garbage dump, and people live in and make their homes of the garbage from a third world country. I was with the pastor on the Saturday that he went through the dump with 10-gallon drums of rice soup. I watched children with bloated bellies line up 10 and 15 deep with their one cup and their one spoon so they could get a bowl of soup my children wouldn't even eat. The pastor said that that bowl of soup was maybe the best meal those kids would have all week. I've been in Africa and walked through large crowds where people grabbed onto my clothing, begging me for money so they would have something to eat that day. Today, after church, you'll go out to the restaurant and you'll complain if the chef overcooks your steak. But 690 people won't eat anything today. You won't bow your head in the restaurant because you're too proud. And to be honest, you're not that thankful. But global Christians would praise God if they got to enjoy a meal like you'll get to enjoy today. I'm telling you, we've been blessed. Amen. I'm thankful for food. I'm thankful today for my family. Amen. I'm thankful for my family. I had the privilege of growing up in a wonderful Christian home. How many of you would say I had that privilege? I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. Look at that. That's most of you. Do you recognize how blessed you are? Do you recognize it? I was 5 or 6 years old when my dad got saved and my mom got right with God. Their marriage was falling apart and Jesus put it back together. My dad is one of the finest Christian men I know. Amen. He made every basketball game I ever played and most of the practices. He worked the bus route, and I worked beside him. He taught children's church, and I preached in children's church. When I was a teenager, I'd go into the living room and see my dad on his face on the floor in the Bible praying for me. I've got a wonderful dad. I have a wonderful mother. She is funny. She has a servant's heart. And she has a passion for God's word that would put most preachers to shame. She's a godly woman. I'm telling you today, I have a godly heritage. Last week, I grieved with the family who lost their 58-year-old husband and father in a single car accident. They could have never imagined they wouldn't get to spend Thanksgiving with their loved one. Next Saturday, we'll hold the funeral for another father who passed away in his 50s. Our dear youth director, Brother Tony Segmini, is sitting in an ICU room in North Carolina right now. And his father, who had a massive heart attack on Thursday, could slip into eternity at any moment. I want all of you with parents who are still alive to listen very carefully. I've been to enough funerals in my life to know that if you wait until your parents go to the cemetery to say thank you, you've waited too late. They're not there and they won't hear you anymore. And if you are blessed and fortunate enough to have parents who are still alive, you ought to say thank you now while you still can. Dr. Tom Farrell was a spiritual father in my life. I'm glad I said thank you when I could because I can't say it now. Dr. Weaver and Dr. Barber, thank you for being spiritual fathers to me. You'll never know what an impact you've made on my life, and I'm thankful for you today. I have the privilege today to be married to a godly, beautiful woman, and she can sing a little bit too. I have two biological children and one foster child who are the pride and joy of my life. Now I get to go to my son's games, and I get to pray for them and see what God will do in their lives. I'm a blessed man. Listen to me today. If someone calls you honey or sweetheart, if someone calls you daughter or brother or son or sister or mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, you are blessed. Amen. Do you recognize that there are lonely people out there who would die to have the family that you have? What if instead of grumbling and gossiping about our family, we were grateful for them instead? What if instead of complaining about them, we took time to celebrate them? If you have a family, God's been good to you. Amen. I'm thankful today for my faith. Look back at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You recognize today that salvation is not a reward that you achieve. It's a gift that you receive. You recognize that you had nothing to do with your own salvation except the sin that made it necessary in the first place. And that if you're saved and your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, it was all of grace. Amen. The Bible says it's not of works. If I had done something to earn my salvation, going to church or being baptized or being good, then I could praise myself for earning it. But because salvation is all of grace, because salvation is a gift, then God ought to get all the glory and all the honor for it. If you're here today and you've never received that gift, I want you to know the King of the Ages wants you to receive the greatest gift that was ever given, the gift of eternal life. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. You don't have to feel the guilt of your sin. You can be forgiven. You don't have to go through this life lonely and without God. You can go through this life with God, and He can be your greatest friend and greatest guide. Let me ask you, has there ever been a time and place in your life you recognized you as a sinner? That Jesus died for you? That He rose again the third day? That it was not by works of righteousness that you could do, but only according to His mercy, His compassion, that He would save you? Have you ever bowed your knee or bowed your head and told God, "I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Jesus died for me. I believe it. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and take me to heaven when I die"? Has that ever happened for you? If it hasn't happened for you, it could happen today. If it has happened to you, it's the greatest gift that anybody has ever been given, and you ought to be thankful for it. Amen. Do you recognize that for God to create the universe, all it cost Him was His words? For God to create man and put in his body a soul, all it cost Him was His breath. But for God to save your hell-bound soul, it cost Him the most precious substance in the universe, the blood of His only begotten Son. He did that for you, and we ought to be thankful. I'm thankful today. There's a direction to our thanksgiving. It ought to go up. It ought to go to the Lord. Well, look at the last phrase of our verse, and let's notice lastly the motivation of our gratitude. Because it says in Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, that's key. That's what motivates us to be thankful on the days we don't think we have a lot to be thankful for. Because we recognize that everything we do have comes to us because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't deserve it. We were the enemies of God. But because of what He's done for us, every good thing has come into our life. One of my favorite preachers of the past was a man by the name of F.B. Meyer. And he used to tell a touching story about a little boy who was standing outside Buckingham Palace in tears. A man walked up to the little boy and said, "Child, why are you crying?" The boy said, "Well, I came from the country today because I heard the king was in his palace. I want to go see him, but the guards won't let me in. I want to see the king, but I don't have a way." The man said to him, "I think I can do something about that. You hold my hand and you come with me." When the man approached the gates to Buckingham Palace flew open wide. The man and the little boy walked right up to the front door, his hand in the man's hand, and they walked right in. The man walked him through the very spacious palace and into the room where the king himself was working. He interrupted the king and said, "King, this little boy wanted to see you." And immediately the king sent away his advisors and put away his papers and sat down and had a spot of tea with the little boy. When the tea was over, the boy was utterly amazed. He could not believe that he, a common boy from the country, would get to have tea with the king in his palace. Well, as the man was showing him out of the palace, the boy asked the man, "I don't understand it. I tried and tried to get in and I couldn't. I did not have a way. How did you get me in?" The man answered and said, "I have a way to the king because I am the king's son. And the king was happy to see you because you were with me." Do you recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that the king was God? That you were the little boy or little girl? And that the one who made a way for you into the palace of the king was Jesus? The good news is that God has made a way for you to come to Him. It is through Christ. Amen. The Bible says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Let me tell you something, friend. Nobody in heaven will be able to say, "I put myself here." And nobody in hell will be able to tell God, "You put me here." God has made a way for you to miss hell and go to heaven. And that way is through His Son. And I want to ask you a personal question this morning. Have you ever taken that way? Have you ever received God's gift? Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven because you put your faith and trust in Him? If you have believed that, if you've taken that way, if you are saved today, you know you didn't do anything for it. It was a gift. And all that you have in life, God, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, heaven, a church family, all that you have in life is because of Christ. Let me ask you this morning. After all He's done for us, isn't it the least that we could do that we would say thank you to Him? Amen. You know, you don't have to wait until Thursday to express your gratitude to God. You could do it right now. And if there was ever a day when God's people ought to be thankful, it's on the Lord's day. It's this day. And maybe here in a moment, some hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner that's received the grace of God and is on his way to heaven would just like to come and say, "God, thank you for Jesus and for the blessings in my life. I really am grateful." You say, "Pastor, I am grateful. I feel grateful." Have you expressed it? That's what it's all about. Do you have an attitude of gratitude? Let's pray. Father, you've done so much for us, and we are so often ungrateful. I think if we just took a moment and let the Holy Spirit speak to our heart and remind us of the many blessings we enjoy, that our hearts would overflow with love and adoration and thanksgiving for you. Lord, if there's someone here who's never received the greatest gift that was ever given, I pray today they will. And I pray that the rest of us won't just get thankful on Thursday when the football game comes on and we eat a big meal, but that right now, at this very moment, we would feel and express our gratitude to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anybody here who would say, Pastor Gillett, I'm not sure I've ever received God's gift. I'm not 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know that I've ever trusted in Jesus. Pastor Gillett, would you please pray for me? With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just let me pray for you today? I'm not saved or I'm not sure about it. Pastor, would you pray for me? If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? I'm not saved or I'm not sure. Pastor, would you please pray for me? Then I assume the rest of us are God's people today. How many of you would be honest enough to say, you know, Pastor Gillett, the last couple of years have been tough. And I've done a lot of grumbling and a lot of complaining. And I haven't been nearly grateful enough to God for the good things in my life. My heart is convicted, but I want to have an attitude of gratitude. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? That's many of us. And I hope many of you here in just a moment will leave your seat, find a place at this altar, and say thank you to God. Maybe you are a grateful person, but this time of the year reminds us we can't ever be grateful enough. Why don't you come too and find a place and just say thank you, Jesus, for your blessings in my life. Father, speak during this time of invitation. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.